In most places, if I were to speak on this gospel, I would spend some time explaining why this is not an insult to Mary, that Jesus describes his mother and his brothers as those who are disciples. I think in this chapel, I don't have to go into that explanation. You know, this is not a slight against Mary. Jesus does not dishonor his mother or disown his mother. That's a ridiculous, superficial interpretation of this gospel. So I'm not going to go into all that. I hope you understand it. You probably have heard me speak about it a dozen times already. I'd like to focus on how Jesus uses this opportunity, this arrival of his mother and his brothers, his relatives, to launch into or to raise us up into a completely new understanding of how we relate to God, how we are related to God, how we belong to the family of God. That's really at the heart of this teaching. So don't get distracted by those who claim that we should not have devotion to Mary because Jesus didn't have devotion to his mother. That doesn't make any sense. He's the perfect son. He honored his mother. What he does here is open a new door into a heavenly family. And this is what we should reflect on. So to reflect on this, I think it's good to go back to how people relate to God before the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or let's go back even before revelation in the Old Testament. Let's go back to pagan understandings of God and how we are to relate to him. Most people believe that there's some kind of a God or some kind of higher power. In fact, most people of all times have had that conviction. Very, very few people have been convinced that there is no such thing as any spiritual power. It's obvious to people of thought that things got here from somewhere and that there is some power higher than our own. Now, whether they call it God or not, that's up to them. Or some have concluded that there are many gods. That was the conviction in ancient civilizations. There were many gods. But eventually, among the Greeks and the Romans at least, they came to the realization there can't be many supreme powers. There has to be one above all the others. There has to be some kind of supreme being or force. But how do you relate to that power? Well, pagan religions tended to be a bit afraid of it or of him. So sacrifice to God or to the gods was in order to placate God so that he wouldn't be angry and he wouldn't punish. So if you want to have crops, if you want to have a fruitful wife, well, then you sacrifice a certain number of animals and maybe that will work and God will give you the blessing you want. And if you don't do that, well, maybe some big storm will wipe out all your crops and it's your own fault because you made God angry. So that's the way people thought about God. It's kind of natural to us to think that someone with a lot of power is dangerous because that's the way it is in human relations. In fact, the worst people are the dictators, the tyrants, those who take upon themselves power which belongs to God. They act as if they themselves are God, and they have the power to determine everything about what goes on in their kingdom or their realm. Now that's usurping God to an extreme degree. And you know, the Roman emperors, that was an official declaration. They were gods. Caesar Augustus was officially declared a god. Well, I don't know what he thought about himself, but he certainly wasn't God. He died just like everybody else. And he didn't have supreme power. Okay, well, that's pagan religions. They have some understanding that there's spiritual power. There's a reality of something higher than ourselves. But what is it? How do you relate to him or it? Then you get to the first light of revelation. That's what we have in the Old Testament. God reveals himself. He reveals himself to Abraham and his descendants. He chooses a people to enlighten and to form the Jews. And the Jews realize, because it's revealed to them, God is not someone to be terrified of. He actually loves his people. He's actually compassionate. He's tender. He's merciful. And this is what we see in today's first reading. Beautiful passage from the prophet Micah. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt? Who is there? Whose God, whose understanding of God, sees the supreme being as someone merciful, like a shepherd? Someone who looks on his people as if they're his children, or at least his own servants. Who is there like this? Who is there who's not, doesn't remain angry even when we're sinners? Who has compassion and treads our guilt underfoot? Well, there's no one like that. No one had a God like that. No pagan religions had a God like the Jews had. And the Jews knew it. They said, oh, we have a greater God. We have greater laws than anybody. And it was true. But when Jesus came, a whole new understanding of God was made available. The incarnation inserts God into the human condition, translates God into human language. It revolutionizes everything, and suddenly what we would think of as ordinary human relationships or human experiences become avenues to know God. Everything human is somehow now connected to God, genuinely human. I'm not talking about sin, which is against the good of the human family. But anything genuinely human, good, true, is a way to God now. Especially marriage, family, the experience of care for one another. Okay, so that's Jesus now. Jesus takes this awesome reality of God, this mind-boggling concept of a supreme, infinite, perfect, eternal being, and makes that God available to us in a human relationship. See what he's doing. He's making known the Father. He's making known that God is a Father and that he loves us. He's not just caring for us like sheep or like servants. He loves us like his own children, like we are members of his family. He adopts us into his divine family. And that's what Jesus wants to reveal. So when someone comes along and says, your mother is here, your brothers are here, he says, wow, here's an opportunity for me to talk about this awesome connection that he's opening up for us with God, that we are inserted into God's family. So he says, okay, well, who's my brother? Think about this a little bit. Who's my mother? Everybody would say, who's your mother? She's that woman out there. And he would say, sure, I'm talking about something higher than that. I'm not talking about natural human relations. Yes, that's my mother. I'm not going to... There's no argument about that. I'm not here to teach people who my mother is. Everybody knows that. But nobody knows that if you do the will of my Father, you become my mother, my brother, my sister. Now, no one would have thought of such a thing. No one would have dared to say such a thing. That someone who does the will of the Father becomes Jesus' mother. Sometimes the scholars will say, things written in the Gospels or in the New Testament are, the evangelist came up with these things in order to express what Jesus really meant. It didn't really come from Jesus' own words. That's a kind of questionable approach. But when it comes to this statement, whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother. No one would have ever said that. Unless Jesus himself said it. What does it mean to be a mother? Well, a mother is one who brings forth life, who gives life and nurtures life. What does it mean to be the mother of Jesus? We learn it from Mary. She receives his life and she brings him forth into the world. She's the channel for divine life to come to us in human form. Jesus Christ, God made man. Mary is the image, the perfect image of the Mother of God. But Jesus says, whoever does the will of my Heavenly Father is my mother, meaning we participate in this work of bringing the life of Jesus into the world. We all have a role, or participate in the role, of bringing forth this spiritual life. We are all called to be spiritual mothers. You see how revolutionary this is? No one could come up with this. In fact, even Christians often don't really get this. Men especially have a hard time conceiving of the idea of being a mother, because that's obviously impossible for a man to be a mother, aside from what the transgender people say. They say men can be mothers. But let's face it, men can't be mothers on the natural level. But on the spiritual level, anyone who brings forth life is mothering. Jesus said this. We have to take it in. Say, well, okay, I have something to offer here. I have something to bring forth here, something planted in me from God, which God wants me to bring forth, like a mother does. Now, we're also his brother and his sister. We're brother, sister, mother. We can grasp the brother, sister part. The mother part is the absolutely mind-blowing description of how we are connected to God. We're children of God, beautiful. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, extraordinary. We are the mother, we are mothers of Jesus, absolutely astounding, but true. So this is a word to us. If the Jews could rejoice in the extraordinary revelation of God given to them as a chosen people, we have much greater reason to rejoice in the much greater revelation of God given to us Christians. If we do the will of our Heavenly Father, we are Jesus' brother and sister and mother.